Let us turn to the Old Testament and read from the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, we'll read the whole chapter. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins, and their flesh, and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us all. The day of the atonement. That's what's stated in verse 30. On that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. This celebration in Israel, it was a very important one. It was a very important day in Israel's calendar. It falls, even today, it falls somewhere between mid-September and mid-October in our own calendar. It is a unique day for the high priest, because in that day he had to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, what we have been reading of and what we have been studying in Exodus too. It was the little place after the veil inside the tabernacle. It was the most sacred room of that tent of meeting that Israel built there in the desert. It was the place where God dwelt. So these rituals that were commanded by God were very important. And we'll see soon, in fact, one of the reasons. In Hebrew, this is called the Yom Kippur. the Day of Atonement, which means of covering. That's the Hebrew word, which means covering. It was a covering of their sins. It was the day when, as we have read quite often in these few verses, when their uncleanness were covered. It was made an atonement for them and for their sins. In all these rituals, you have noticed the blood of the sacrifice would cover the sins of the people and of the priest in God's eyes. And all this, it was a clear prophecy of Christ, of the work of the cross. And it is quite difficult to miss it. So with God's help, we will try and see some of the connections that we have in this chapter. So what I'm going to do is look at three things in turn. And as we have been reading in the chapter, we need to notice, first of all, the priest. Because it was the Day of Atonement for the priest. This atonement was made for the priest, first of all. We will read this up into verse 6 and throughout all the chapter 2. But then secondly, we'll need to notice that this was not only for him, but for all the people of Israel. This is what the priest was doing. And it was an atonement, it's repeated many times, for the people. But then, lastly, we need to apply all this for us all, even today, as we have read in Hebrews. Because this was a picture of the atonement of Christ. And so that's what we are going to look at, trying to apply some of these truths and see how it fits with the sacrifice of the Lord, because this is the atonement for all sinners as well. So, briefly and quickly, it was the Day of Atonement for the priest. You've noticed right away from verse 2 that it did happen at a very solemn occasion. For Aaron specifically, God immediately told him this. The Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And so immediately you can think of Aaron and of that dreadful experience that he went through, because he lost two sons. Right, because they entered the presence of God with their own imaginations and with their own ideas of doing things. They didn't listen what God said. They didn't do things properly. And they died there. So you can imagine Aaron, how attentive he should have been. How careful he must have been doing all these things, with faith and trust in God's word. Because anything wrong, apart from what God said, it meant Aaron's death. To enter the most holy place, it was a very serious thing. You couldn't be walking there without any blood to protect you and to save you. So the only way, it is so clear, the only way Aaron could enter there, it was because of the blood of these sacrifices sprinkled there on the mercy seat. It was the place where the cloud, where God was indeed present. It was, you can read in Exodus where this was explained, and when they were told how to build the tabernacle, God said about this mercy seat, the covering of the ark, a golden plate where the two cherubims were looking at each other down to the mercy seat, God said, "That's the place where I will meet you." Imagine what a privilege for Israel there in the desert, being saved from slavery, having been taken away from Egypt, and now they are there in the desert, and God said, "You build this and I will meet you there." Of course it was important, it was a great privilege, and it was there. If you read Numbers chapter 7, it was from there that the voice of the Lord was physically heard. God was speaking to his people. What a privilege. What an amazing truth. Well, you run right through to the New Testament. And with this picture in mind, when you read Ephesians chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. "Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." What a picture we have here in Leviticus of God's eternal truth, of the fact that you can approach God that you cannot see, but you are told you can be close and meet him because of the blood of Christ. So the priest was Aaron, was told here, listen carefully. This is what God says. This is how you can approach me and meet with me. And he had to change his garments, and he had to bring this sin offering that we have read. The garments had to be different from what he usually had to wear going into that tabernacle. And we cannot spend time here to look at these details, but we found them in Exodus. So he had to wear this tunic. It was actually a tunic that was typically made and used by slaves. It was a very simple linen tunic. And it was, in a sense, giving the idea that he was a servant of God in doing this, in going into his presence. And then he had to bathe himself, he had to wash carefully, and he had to do this various times, so to appear clean before the Lord. Imagine again how clear the vision of this act and celebration and of ritual it must have been impressing Aaron. And it all, as always, was pointing to the presence of sin, to the need for sinners like you and me to be cleansed and to be clothed and to appear pure in the presence of God. This is what Aaron had to do. And more than this, he had to offer these sacrifices. And that was already learned very well by Israel. The sacrifice and the blood shed meant to take away sin, because sin was the hindrance, sin was the problem. Sin, it is what makes you die before God. And throughout this chapter, by the way, sin is used, the words for sin are used not only once, but in very many different ways. We have read of the word iniquity, we have read of sinfulness, we have read of pollution and of an estrangement, all these aspects of sin that are so real for the priest and for Israel and for us all. So that is so much for the priest and for what he had to learn right away. But he had to do all that he had to do, it was for himself, and I hope you've noticed at the end of verse 6 it said for his house too. But then all that he was going to do, it was also and especially for the people. From verse 7 onward, that's what it's been explaining. So the sacrifices were necessary And there is a special order for all this. I've tried to list them in an order that can be probably easier to picture in your mind. And I'll go through it quickly, because some of these actions are mixed up between the priest himself and the people afterward. But this is, if you want to follow quickly, these are all the activities that the priest is going to do in this Day of the Atonement. So first of all, he washes himself in the courtyard and he dresses inside the tent of the tabernacle. You can imagine the high priest entering in, washing himself in the courtyard where the altar is, and then he enters the tent of the tabernacle and he dresses there. Then he offers the bull for the sin offering and for himself and for the family. Then he enters further into the Holy of Holies, and with the bull's blood, with the incense, and with the coals from the altar of the burnt offering, he enters there and he sprinkles the bull's blood on the mercy seat 7 times. Then he goes backward. He goes back to the courtyard outside, and there he finds the two goats, and he casts lots on the two goats, and he picks up one. So he sacrifices the one goat as a sin offering for the people. Having done this, he goes again inside the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkles there with that blood the mercy seat in the most holy place. Then he goes back again, he returns to the altar of the burnt offering, and he cleanses it, the altar itself, he cleanses it with the blood of the bull and of the goat. Then there is this procedure with the scapegoat, the other goat that has remained alive, and that scapegoat is sent into the wilderness. There's an appointed man that does this. And the man who does send the scapegoat away, he has to cleanse himself and wash himself before coming in. At this point, the high priest cleanses himself again. He washes, he changes his garments, and he offers the two rams as a burnt offering, again for himself and also for the people. He burns the fat of the sin offering on the altar. And so he takes the bull and the goat sin offering away outside of the camp, and these are burned. These are taken by another man outside of the camp and burned, and clean himself again. So this is all that happens, and how clearly all the people can see the sacrifices made, the blood shed, taken into the presence of God, once for the high priest and once for themselves, for the people. And then they can see this picture of the two goats, one killed and the blood used, and the other kept alive, and confessed the sins of the people on the head of this living goat and sent the living goat away. This word, the scapegoat, is actually a negative meaning for us in our own day. I think it's the same for England, for your language, but in Italian too. It's often used for indicating a person who has to be blamed for something unfairly, but it's not such a negative picture here, because this scapegoat, this goat that has remained alive, is receiving the sin of the people and is sent away to picture one aspect of the sacrifice of Christ. These two goats, in fact, are pointing to one single sacrifice, which is the one of Christ. Two aspects of the same sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, of his atonement for sin. So let us look, in fact, at what it is, the atonement for all sinners, which is described here in this chapter. We can see some of these details that apply very well in the life of Christ and in his sacrifice. And we can look at both the priest and the sacrifice itself, because both of these things are in fact describing the work of Christ completely fulfilled in him. So the priest, we know the priest was called by God to do this work. He was specifically taken out from the people for this specific function. And so it is the same for God, who appointed Christ and anointed him, we read in the New Testament. It is the chosen one, his own dear son, filled, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the high priest was anointed and chosen and was doing this for God himself, representing all the people, just as Christ was representing in his office all his people. When you think of the linen coat in verse 4 of the outward garment of the high priest, you can read in Exodus 28 more of these details of the garments of the high priest. It must bring us to the holy garments of righteousness and the glory of Christ. He was clothed of the glory of God, and yet he was humiliated and he humbled himself in the body of mankind, yet with no sin, but humbled himself and walked on this earth in a body, in a real body, incarnate. His glorious purity, his perfect holiness, clothed with a sinless humanity. Not only his outward life was holy here with no sin, but also his heart was holy. And then one of the parts of the garments was this linen mitre on his head, which was a sign of submission for the high priest. There he was declaring that he was submitted to God and serving him in his office. And so how much it is true for the Lord Jesus, how much he was submitted to his Father and humbled himself and obeyed him in all his priestly office here on earth. He didn't need a sacrifice for himself like the high priest, but yet he humbled himself and obeyed the Father until the death of the cross. He came to make himself a sacrifice for sinners. Although the high priest was performing all these actions, Christ himself actually did the office of a priest, and he was the sacrifice himself. And so the sacrifice of Christ is even more given an image with these two goats that have been prepared as the sacrifice and are given these two aspects of the atonement of Christ. Interestingly enough, the goats were numbered among the animals that were clean. When we read earlier on a list of animals, these were declared clean, which means they could be used for milk and it could be used for meat and eaten. But also in other occasions, you may remember in the New Testament, for example, the goat is used to represent the sinner, and it's used to represent those who are lost in opposition to those who are the sheep and the true children of God. And it is in fact true that Christ himself was holy but yet numbered among the transgressors. He came to fulfill both of these two aspects. And the goats, interestingly enough, again, are taken, you see, from the people. We read they are taken from there, from them. It means it did cost to them. It was given from the people. It must have been costing a sacrifice. It was given from them. But for Christ, he was actually valued 30 pieces of silver. That's how much he was paid for, to be given up and to be sacrificed and to be sold out and cursed. Verse 7 repeats there, as the two goats were taken, that they were presented before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. How right this is, that all this was done, this sacrifice was done to be brought before God, before the Lord, right there. And this had to be displayed at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Everyone could see it. It was a public action and choice for these two goats. One was taken with the lot for the Lord, and the other lot as the scapegoat. It was the whole congregation there noticing what was happening and how this truth was made real to them all. So as we said, there was these two aspects of the sacrifice and of the atonement of Christ. One was representing the fact and the reality of the sacrifice itself, of Christ being given up like the goat that was sacrificed, and for Christ to being given up for his people, his blood shed. This goat, the first one, had to be killed. There was no way, no other way. The blood had to be shed. That blood had to be taken and sprinkled on the mercy seat. That was making the atonement. That was the Calvary's blood brought into the presence of the Father and used to cover the sins of his people. But the other goat is actually showing another aspect of this sacrifice of Christ, because verse 20, we have read that in that occasion, verse 21, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. That's what has never to be forgotten, because on Christ and on him the Father laid on the sins of us all. The laying of the sins of the people was done on Christ. That's what happened. And like this goat is sent into the wilderness and pushed away, so Christ was left desolate. He was left into the wilderness of the wrath of God, away from his Father, forsaken from him, bearing the pains of hell. Why was this? Why have you forsaken me? The Lord would cry from the cross. He was carrying the sins of all his people. And the image that Israel could see, it is of such comfort and of such a vivid reality of what your sins have been performing or what your sins have been doing in Christ, on Christ, on Himself. This God was sent away, out of sight, far away, so that no one could ever see it again. That's what happened in the sacrifice of Christ. His blood shed and His sins laid on Him, blotted away, sent away from the sight of the sinners. So far has He removed the sins of His people. Horatius Bonar would say, did write in commenting this atonement, the truth of the atonement, he said this: I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. Have you peace with God? Do you see the Lord dying for yourself? Have you laid down on Him and confessed all your sin? Do you trust in His shed blood to cover the presence of God? So this is what Israel was encouraged to do, to trust and have faith and come with sincere confession, so not to die in the presence of God. This is what you are to do, to confess your sins before Christ and come believing that your sins are fully covered, not only covered but sent away as far as the east from the west. No wonder the following chapter in Hebrews that we have read, chapter 10, will say this: let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. May this be your experience as you come near to God in Christ because of His blood shed.